Peter Hill Explains, where I invite you to join the science teaching conversation with me about
molten salt nuclear reactors, a Cosmos magazine article by Richard Martin entitled A Second Chance for Nuclear Power, Cheap, No Meltdowns, No Bombs. That's why China and the US are collaborating to build a molten salt reactor. In February, I flew through the interior of a machine that could represent the future of nuclear power. It was a virtual reality tour of the Shanghai Institute of Applied Physics in China, which plans in the next few years to build an experimental reactor whose design makes a meltdown far less likely. That's strange. Inside the core, a super hot, intensely radioactive place where no human will ever go, the layers of the power plant peeled back before me. The outer vessel of stainless steel, the inner layer of high-tech alloy, and finally the nuclear fuel itself. Tens of thousands of billiard-sized spheres containing particles of radioactive material. I should stop at this point and say those billiards are, are covered, encased in isotropic pyrolytic carbon, which is the same with my heart valve. So go nuclear reactors. Given the unprecedented access to the inner workings of China's advanced nuclear R&D program, I was witnessing a nuclear technology being born. Through the virtual reactor, snaked an intricate system of pipes carrying the fluid that makes the system special. A molten salt that cools the reactor and carries heat to drive the turbine and make electricity. At least in theory, this type of reactor can't suffer the kind of catastrophic failure that happened to Chernobyl or Fukushima. Okay, there's some questions. Making unnecessary the expensive and redundant safety systems that have driven up the cost of conventional reactors. What's more, the new plants should produce little waste and might even eat up existing nuclear waste. They could run on uranium, which powers 99% of the nuclear powers in the world, plants in the world. Or they could eventually run on thorium, which is cleaner and more abundant. The ultimate goal of the Shanghai Institute to build a molten salt reactor that could replace the 70s-era technology in today's nuclear power plants with the help wean China off its coal that fouls the air of Shanghai and Beijing, ushered in an era of cheap, abundant, zero-carbon energy. Over the next 2 decades, China hopes to build the world's largest nuclear power industry. It plans to include as many as 30 new conventional nuclear plants in addition to 34 reactors operating today, as well as a variety of next-generation reactors, including thorium molten reactors, high-temperature gas-cooled reactors, which, like molten salt reactors, are both highly efficient and inherently safe, and the sodium-cooled fast reactors, which can consume spent fuel from conventional reactors to make electricity. China plans want not only to dramatically expand the country's domestic nuclear capacity, but also to become the world's leading supplier of nuclear reactors and components, a prospect that many Westerners observers find alarming. The Shanghai Institute effort to develop molten salt reactors, a technology that has been all but forgotten in the US for decades, reflects just how daring China's nuclear ambitions are. Already the government has invested 2 billion Chinese renminbi, 300 million US over the past 5 years into molten salt R&D, building actual plants that which will require billions more. As with other innovative nuclear technologies in development around the world, there are few guarantees. Though people have run small experimental molten salt reactors, no one has ever actually built one at utility scale and hooked it up to the grid. Yet the Chinese government expects to have the commercial-sized plant up and running within the next 15 years, helping to revive the beleaguered nuclear-powered industry. The first experiment of molten salt reactors were carried out at Oak Ridge National Laboratory in Tennessee under the director of Alvin Weinberg in the late 1950s. Today's Chinese program, in fact, is the fruit of a unique and somewhat controversial partnership between Oak Ridge and Shanghai Institute. The U.S. research program went on for more than a decade, but was eventually shut down in favor of a technology that used a vast majority of reactors plants today. In respect, that decision contributed not only to the demise of the promising nuclear technology, but also to the long stagnation of the industry. Though the world needs nuclear energy more than ever if we are to limit climate change. According to the International Energy Agency, the world's nuclear capacity needs to more than double by mid-century if we are to stay within 2 degrees of warming. As it stands now, it seems unlikely. Several countries, including China and India, have embarked on a massive nuclear power build-outs, but most will entail big conventional reactors technologies that is too expensive for much of the rest of the world. Even countries such as Germany that can afford nuclear power are phasing it out because they fear another disaster. That makes the failsafe nuclear power plant being developed at the Shanghai Institute a paramount urgency. After my virtual tour, Kun Chen, one of the Molten Salts Program's lead scientists, walked me back to the Institute's main administration building. Snow had fallen overnight and it was bitterly cold. In the auditorium, a small crowd of staffers had gathered to talk by Chu Kongpei, director of the Molten Salt Program. It was a week before the Lunar New Year holiday. The Institute's annual banquet was being held that night. You spoke for more than 2 hours about the history of molten salt technology and its prospects for the future. This has been China's dream for half a century, he said. Previously, we lacked the necessary knowledge and skill to make it a reality. Now we have the resources and the technology and the expertise. Now we can do it. Alvin Weinberg first came to Oak Ridge in 1945, just after the laboratories had been built in the northern Tennessee hills to make weapons-grade uranium and plutonium. A veteran of the Manhattan Project, Weinberg became director of the rapidly growing National Lab in 1955 and held the position until 1973. He was a pioneering nuclear physicist and philosopher of nuclear power, who used the phrase Faustian bargain to describe the tension between the industrialized society thirst for abundant energy and the extreme vigilance to keep the nuclear power safe. To make this energy source both clean and extremely cheap, he believed the link between nuclear power and nuclear weapons would have to be severed. And the way to break the link was a thorium molten salt reactor. Under Weinberg's leadership, a team enthusiastic young chemists, physicists and engineers operated a small experimental molten salt reactor from 1965 to 1969. That reactor at Oak Ridge ran out on uranium. Weinberg's eventual goal was to build one that would run exclusively on thorium, which, unlike uranium, cannot easily be made into bombs. But the molten salt experiment was abandoned in the early 1970s. One big reason was that Weinberg managed to alienate his superiors by warning of the dangers of conventional nuclear power at a time when dozens of such reactors were already under construction or in the planning stages. At the end of the century, the US had built 104 nuclear reactors, but constructions on new ones had all but come to a halt, and the technology remained stuck in the 1970s. Conventional reactors require huge, costly containment vessels that can blow up in extreme conditions, and because they use extensive external cooling systems to make sure the solid fuel doesn't overheat and cause leading to a meltdown, they are hugely expensive. The two reactors being built at Georgia could cost $12 billion, 50% over the original estimate. $21 billion, 50% over the original estimate of $14 billion. All that for 40-year-old technology. Today, though, as the climate accelerates and government officials and scientists seek a nuclear technology without expensive problems that have stalled the conventional version, molten salt is enjoying a renaissance. Companies like Terrestrial Energy, Transatomic Power, Moltex, and Filber Energy are vying to develop new molten salt reactors. The research programs on various forms of the technology are underway at universities and institutes in Japan, France, Russia, and the US, in addition to the one at the Shanghai Institute. Besides the work going into developing solid fuel reactors that are cooled by molten salt, like some I toured virtually at Shanghai, there are even more radical designs that also use radioactive materials dissolved in the salt as a fuel, as Weinberg's experiment did. Like all nuclear plants, molten salt reactors excite atoms into a radioactive material to create a controlled chain reaction. The reaction unleashes heat and boils water, creating steam that drives a turbine to generate electricity. Solid fuel reactors cooled with molten salt can run at higher temperatures than conventional reactors, making them more efficient. And they operate at atmospheric pressure, meaning they do not require expensive vessels or a sort that ruptured at Chernobyl. Oh, that's a really misconception there. Molten salt reactors that use liquid fuel have an even more attractive advantage. When the temperature of the core reaches a certain threshold, the liquid expands, which slows the nuclear reaction and lets the core cool. To take advantage of this property, the reactor built like a bathtub with a drain plug at the bottom. If the temperature of the core gets too high, the plug melts and the fuel drains into a shielded tank, typically underground, where it stores safely as it cools. The reactor should be able to tap more energy available than the radioactive material than conventional ones do. That means they should dramatically reduce the amount of nuclear waste that must be handled and stored. Because they don't require huge containment structures and need less fuel to produce the same amount of electricity, the reactors are more compact than today's nuclear plants. They could be mass-produced in factories and combined in arrays to form larger power plants. Oh my God. All should be made cheaper to... All that should make them cheaper to build. Unlike wind and solar, which have gotten less expensive over time, nuclear plants have become much more so. According to the US Information Administration, the inflation-adjusted cost of building a power plant rose from $1,500 per kilowatt capacity in the early 1960s to more than $4,000 per kilowatt in the 1970s. In its latest calculation, 2003, EIA found that the figure had risen to more than 5,500, more expensive than solar power plant or onshore wind farms, and far more than a natural gas plant. That upfront cost is amplified by the large size of reactors and the average at the average cited by the EIA. 1 gigawatt plant would cost $5.5 billion, a risky investment for any company. Those upfront costs are balanced by the fact that nuclear plants are relatively cheap to operate. That new plants are levelized cost of electricity, which measures the cost of power generated over the lifetime of the plant, is $95 per megawatt, according to EIA, comparable to the cost of electricity from coal-fired plant, and less than that of solar power, which is $125 a megawatt hour. Still, natural gas plants are far cheaper to build, and the cost of electricity they produce is $75 a megawatt hour, and according to the EIA, is also lower. Tightening the regulations on carbon emissions make nuclear power more attractive, but lowering the cost of construction is critical to the future of a zero-carbon nuclear power. That is the pitch being made by a new crop of startups working on advanced nuclear reactors, several of them funded by Silicon Valley investors Transatomic Power, for instance, was founded by the pair of MIT PhD Leslie Dewan and Mark Massey, who have designed a 520 megawatt power plant about the size of an average coal plant today that they think they can build for $2 billion or $3,846 per kilowatt hour of capacity. That is in line with the cost of building a solar power plant, but would have a huge advantage of being able to produce power continuously, not just when the sun shines. Terrestrial Energy, which recently won a research grant from the Canadian government to build a prototype reactor, says the molten salt reactor would cost eventually built as little as $2,000 a kilowatt. But even though molten salt designs have energized inventive young technologists, getting the novel nuclear power technology license and built in the US remains a daunting prospect. Simply applying for a license in the Nuclear Regulatory Commission can take years and cost hundreds of millions of dollars, which is why some startups may never get off the ground. What's more, even $2 billion would be a lot of money for investors and utilities to spend on unimproved technology and questionable financial advantage, which is why the program closest to producing the working reactors in the People's Republic of China. Even as the original experiment with molten salt technologies was winding down in the US in the 1970s, a small group of researchers at the Shanghai Institute of Applied Physics, part of the Chinese Academy of Sciences, was launching its own investigation into thorium-fueled molten salt reactors. But China, which would not start up its first nuclear power plant until 1991, lacked the expertise and money to develop sophisticated machinery and expensive materials in advanced reactors. By the 21st century, like all other countries with nuclear power, China relied on conventional reactors, but the embers of the concept still glowed in the minds of Chinese nuclear scientists. From the Chinese standpoint, thorium has a particular advantage. While mainland China has a small percentage of the world's uranium, it has plenty of thorium. Having an abundant source of carbon-free energy would solve several of China's energy dilemmas in one go. In the eyes of the central government, we are not here to do mature technologies. We have to create something new, something strategic, says Kun Chen, the molten salt scientist who led my virtual tour at Shanghai. You have to think big. Educated at the prestigious University of Science and Technology of China at HEFI, Chen earned a PhD from the Indiana University and worked several years at the Argonne National Laboratory, which, like Oak Ridge, is part of the US Department of Energy. But he came back to China to build the world-changing reactor. He heard about it in 2009 when he visited Shanghai to present a seminar at the Institute of Applied Physics. A scientist told him about the thorium molten reactor, a project not yet funded or announced. A team got most of the technical documents from the web. They are posted by the Oak Ridge team, recalls Zheng Chai, the director of the Molten Salt Program. Shaking, he said, either an admiration or arrangement at the openness of the Americans. They posted everything there for free. At Xu's urging, Chen joined Shanghai Institute in 2010, and today he's in charge of collaborating with Oak Ridge. The US lab is contributing research on materials, control systems, computer simulations, and project building a large molten salt testing facility that was funded by the Chinese Academy of Sciences. While some of the scientists and the nuclear power advocates vehemently oppose the idea of helping China build a world-leading nuclear industry, many of Oak Ridge engineers are just eager to see molten salt reactors built somewhere. One of the important things to realize is that a number of key people in molten salt reactors are retiring very fast or passing away, says David Holcomb, who heads Oak Ridge collaboration with Shanghai Institute. You can't just import new set of staff if we're going to maintain this capability. China is providing the funding that allows us to transfer that knowledge to gain great practical experience at building and operating these reactors. To start, the Shanghai Institute plans to take a hybrid approach using molten salt to cool a solid fuel core similar to the ones of conventional nuclear reactors. Then, Chen says, the team will progress to liquid fuels to fully realise the technology's potential for safety and efficiency. At first, the fuel will be uranium, but the Chinese engineers plan to shift later to thorium. Timelines are aggressive, at least by the standards of the nuclear industry. The Shanghai Institute aims to start a commercial-scale solid fuel plant at 2030 and a 100 megawatt demonstration liquid fuel reactor 2035. Much of the current work, Chen told me, focuses on solving complex plumbing challenges associated with highly corrosive molten salt. I was struck by the confidence and idealism of the young scientists working at the Institute, an optimism not seen in US nuclear circles since Weinberg's day. On my last day at Shanghai, Chung Chen and I strolled around the Institute's ground. The snow was almost gone, but the icy wind was still sharp. He showed me the campus's latest construction project, a three-story warehouse-sized building to house the thorium molten salt program. All the chemistry labs, machine shops, computers, offices, and test loops and pumps and prototypes will be housed there in the building opens later this year. It was just a shell at the time, but it was a symbol of China's commitment to the next nuclear era, a dream the American scientists at Oak Ridge half a century ago is taking shape here, thousands of kilometers away. Another story comes to a close. It's been a pleasure sharing this moment in time with you. May you discover truly amazing things, understand them, and tell others. Thanks for listening.